Thank you for joining the Lower Drug Prices Now Town Hall on Prescription Drug Prices. I'm your host, John Bauman. You might know me best as Bowser from Sha-na-na, but I'm also a senior advisor to Lower Drug Prices Now and a long-time advocate for affordable health care and for prescription drugs. And this town hall is about ensuring that future COVID vaccines and treatments are affordable and affordable for everyone. We're going to talk today about how billions of our tax dollars have gone to the big drug corporations and how we can and must hold them accountable so COVID drugs are affordable. That is a major thing that we need to do in order to end this pandemic. Now, since this is a town hall, very important, we're going to be taking your questions, and we really do want to hear from you. So start thinking about what your questions are now. We also have a great lineup of speakers today. They include Randy Weingarten, president of the AFT, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell of Michigan, and Alliance for Retired Americans president Robert Roche, Jr. So let's get started with our town hall to bum ba ba bum ba bum ba bum bum ba ba bum ba ba bum dang a dang dang a ding a dong ding. Lower drug prices now. Remember, we're going to be taking your questions. So in a moment, just press zero any time during this call. You can ask a question. As I introduce our first guest, I want to say how thrilled we are to have so many members of the Alliance for Retired Americans here today. And I just want to throw in briefly how reliant I am on the Alliance for Retired Americans scorecard, which I use at every event that I do. It is a way of holding legislators accountable for their votes on senior issues, and it's honestly the best metric that I know. So among the many members of the Alliance for Retired Americans who are on this call right now is the president of that alliance. He is Robert Roche, Jr. Take it away, Robert.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Robert Roche, President of the Alliance for Retired Americans. I'm pleased to be on the call with my fellow union retirees, and I hope you and your family members are safe and healthy. I want to welcome you and thank you for joining this conversation about lowering prescription drug prices. The Alliance has been and continues to fight to bring down drug prices for seniors and all consumers. Every day, the Alliance fights for the health and well-being of retirees and their families. Right now, during the pandemic, that means making sure that any vaccine or drugs that prevent or treat the coronavirus are affordable for everyone. We know that billions of our tax dollars have gone into research that is needed to face this health crisis. We are going to ensure that drug corporations don't turn that taxpayer-funded research into drugs we can't afford. We have to hold drug corporations accountable. Retirees and working families must come first. We must be sure that the politicians put our interests before the interests of the drug industry executives trying to pad their already outrageous profits. We are fortunate to have the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, with us today. She knows all about making things affordable. Randy is a personal friend of the Alliance and a personal friend of mine. I come from a family of teachers, so I consider this wonderful leader, who's one of the most powerful labor leaders in the country, as not only a friend, but as a sister. Randy is a multitasker because she's doing her part in the fight while also looking out for all the teachers and school children affected by this pandemic, as well as the thousands of nurses and healthcare professionals who belong to the AFT. President Sister Weingarten, we welcome you on this call, so please take it away.
Thank you, Robert. And as Robert said, I am actually multitasking, unfortunately, right now because we are, by about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock this afternoon, putting out a plan about how to safely reopen schools, universities, and other workplaces. And so we are working on that at the same time. That the COVID crisis exposes and has exposed every inequality in America. So we walk into with two things, with 40% of Americans having not being able to put $400 together in an emergency, with increasing retirement insecurity on behalf of our seniors, where more and more seniors, because of the lack of pensions, and the fact that 40% also, a different 40% of Americans, or a different statistic, 40% of Americans don't even don't have a 401k, and many, many Americans don't have defined benefit plans or anything other than Social Security to rely on in their retirement. And then on top of all of that, we have that in COVID, we see an increasing a tragedy because of the way that this virus affects seniors, not just in nursing homes, but also, you know, which is painful and terrible in and of itself, and in other congregate care facilities like assisted living. But we have seen the statistics in terms of what is happening. So the drug issues and the price issues around drugs that were bad in February and January are even worse now. And because of various different hypotheticals that the president and others throw out from the podium at the White House, there are then huge shortages of drugs for things, for other kinds of illnesses that people may have, such as for lupus or for asthma, because these drugs have now been, you know, deployed or redeployed to real or not in the COVID fight. So this issue of ensuring that we can get lower drug prices and prescription drug prices is absolutely imperative. A drug can't work if you can't afford it. And sadly, we've seen the big drug companies price gouge. And so congressional action right now is absolutely essential to stop the jacking up of prices. And frankly, we can't safely reopen society without adequate testing, tracing, isolation, and access to the medicines and the treatment people need. So it's time for the Trump administration and elected leaders to guarantee that everyone can get access to affordable medication that they need to stay healthy, take care of their families, and stop the spread of COVID. We have no time left. People are dying, and people can't afford it. And more people can't afford it because of what's happening with our unemployment. So we support allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices, allowing consumers to safely buy prescription drugs from other countries, ending pharmaceutical corporations' tax breaks for advertisement spending, limiting price increases for drugs, and limiting initial prices for drugs that face no competition and are being abused being abusively priced by manufacturers. I know these changes won't be easy, but we have to do it. And thankfully, we have a huge champion here who has been trying to do this each and every day that she has been in Congress, and that is Congresswoman Debbie Dingell from Michigan, someone whose lead I will follow each and every day because of her hard work and dedication and commitment to the people in Michigan and to workers all over America.
Well, thank you, Randy. We're going to take questions next. So remember, everybody, you can press zero at any time to ask a question. And, you know, I just want to comment on what President of the AFT, Randy Weingarten, said. The only thing, remember, that is standing in between Medicare negotiating with drug companies for lower prices is the United States government. So we're going to ask you during this call to call in to your congresspeople That is coming up, and we're going to give you all the information to help you expedite those phone calls and make sure that your congressperson knows, your member knows, that they are going to have to make COVID drugs affordable and all drugs affordable. I should also tell you I got a special closing song that I'm going to sing later on, so I want you to please stick around for that. But before we take our very first question, it is my pleasure to introduce that Congresswoman, Debbie Dingell, one of the great ones from one of the great states of Michigan. She is an incredible champion for working people and for affordable health care, and we are just thrilled to have her with us today. So please welcome Congresswoman Debbie Dingell.
Well, thank you, John, for that very nice introduction. And I just want to say that I wish I could have you on every town hall and Zoom meeting I'm doing, because you would uplift spirit of people that I'm talking about. And I really want to recognize Randy Weingarten of the AFT, as you say, who has been a friend of many years. But not only is she really out there fighting for our young people and their education and does it every single day now on top of this COVID crisis, but she also represents nurses who've been on the front lines, not had the PPE equipment or the support that they've needed. And so she's just a fighter for workers every day, and I'm so grateful to her for her work and her friendship, and as well as Margarita George and Robert Roach, who you heard from at the beginning, and you're going to hear from Margarita, and their dedication in addressing high prescription drug costs is incredible too. And one of the messages you're going to get from this phone call is we're all working our hearts and souls out, but we can't do it without you, and we need you, and it's one of the reasons that we're doing this call. The current COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted the need more than ever that we have to address the skyrocketing prescription drug costs. Everybody on this phone has been working at it for a long time, and we're not going to give up. Many of you may not know me, may not know that I was married to a man I loved with my whole heart and soul that was a champion of universal health care for years, and his father was actually the author of Social Security. And as his caregiver, he was great. His mind was there. He kept fighting for this until the very hour he died. He made me promise on his deathbed I would fight for Medicare for All and for lowering the cost of prescription drugs. But I would see it when I would take him to the doctor or I would be talking to people. And that's what people talked about every single day, is how they couldn't afford the medicine, how expensive it became. The parents that were desperate of children with juvenile diabetes, let alone the seniors that I were talking to, as their insulin prices just kept going up and up. And I see and hear about this issue every day. 9 in 10 Americans over the age of 65 rely on medication in normal times, and the cost of these drugs, as many of you know on this phone call, have become prohibitive. That is why the House of Representatives passed the Lower Drug Costs Now Act in last December. This legislation would allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices and bring down costs for consumers. It would also cap the out-of-pocket costs for seniors on Medicare Part D and prevent drug companies from price gouging American seniors by increasing prices year after year, which is what many of you have seen on your insulin, your high blood pressure, etc. But the current pandemic underscores the need for additional action. Drug manufacturers can and will continue to profit on the backs of America's seniors unless we act. Just last month, drug manufacturer Gilead Sciences, which is the maker of remdesivir, which is a potential coronavirus treatment and actually is one of the drugs that they think is actually working and most effective, successfully. So they petitioned and won the federal government to label it as a treatment for a rare disease, providing them with potentially billions of dollars in benefits and at the expense of American seniors. If this works, is it really treating a rare disease with the number of COVID cases we have around the country? Drug companies are going to continue to exploit these loopholes unless we act. We're investing billions in taxpayer dollars on research to speed up treatment and vaccines for the coronavirus. A vaccine, you hear Dr. Fauci say, it's months away. but that shouldn't stop us from taking action to ensure that those medicines will be available. Some people say reasonable. I don't think it should be any cost. I think every American who needs it needs to be able to get it and not have it because they can't afford to have it. And you don't know how many people that a $5 or $10 drug is too expensive for them. And we need to be able to vaccine the workers who are at most at risk that are exposed to it every day. In the next legislative package, we need to require fair and reasonable prices for all COVID drugs or vaccines developed with taxpayer funds so we can all afford them. Low prices ensure we can offer them at no cost to people who need them the most. Additionally, we need transparency. The Trump administration must strengthen disclosure to the public to ensure that taxpayer dollars are funding research and development of COVID-19 treatment, not underwriting drug manufacturers' bottom lines and profits. All of us are making sacrifices right now. Families, small businesses, healthcare, and grocery workers. We can't, people shouldn't be worrying about their health, the health of themselves, their parents, their grandparents, their children. And that's why we must make sure that the treatments and the vaccines that are needed to fight COVID-19 are affordable to every American. So it's an honor to be part of this town hall and talk to you about this.
Well, thank you so much, Congresswoman Dingell. And again, she's one of the great ones and has been just on this case for this for the entire time, really, for her entire career in Congress. And before that, of course, through her incredible husband, John Dingell. We really do mean it, that we want you guys to be asking questions. We have an incredible panel here, and they're ready to answer your questions. So we're looking at who's lined up to give the first question. In the meantime, though, we are going to have our first poll question for you. And we want you to interact with us. We're going to do this little poll, and it's very simple for you to do this. You can vote by using your keypad. So here is the first poll question. What kind of action should Congress take to ensure that COVID treatments and vaccines will be affordable? So listen to all the choices before you press one. Press number one if you think Congress should block any company from getting monopoly power to set prices. Press number two, if you think Congress should legislate that all COVID medications will be provided at low or no cost. Press three, if you think Congress should mandate that the Trump administration disclose the secret contracts between the government and drug companies. And press four, if you think Congress should do all of the above. We're going to have those poll results in a second. And don't forget, I've got that closing song coming on, so please stay on the line. But first, we're going to hear from Barbara Lawson. I'm hoping she's on the line with us. A senior in Maine, she has an important story to share with us about what it means when drug corporations set prices sky high. So these personal stories, you know, are really the lifeblood of what we're trying to accomplish here at Lower Drug Prices Now, because as much as all of us who are working on these issues are fighting as hard as we can to accomplish lowering drug prices now, it is the personal stories of real people out there who cannot afford their prescription drugs and have to make life choices that they should never have to make in America that really make the biggest difference. So Barbara Lawson is a senior in Maine, the state of Maine, and a member of the Maine People's Alliance, a very important organization. Please welcome Barbara Lawson.
Actually, before we take Barbara's question, we're just going to report back on the poll results. 84% said all of the above, that Congress should block any single company from getting monopoly, should legislate that COVID drugs developed with tax dollars are affordable, and mandate that secret contracts between the Trump administration and Big Pharma become public. 85%.
Wow. Pretty amazing, and not that surprising? That was Miles Duffy from Lower Drug Prices Now, who announced the poll results. Miles, do we have Barbara?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Well, once again, I ask you to please welcome Barbara Lawson, a member of the Maine People's Alliance.
Hi, my name is Barbara, and I live in Hollis, Maine. My 99-year-old mother lives with me, and the irony is that I'm the one on medications, not her. Unfortunately, a few years ago, I developed a rare autoimmune condition called scleroderma, and I also have high blood pressure. I'm retired, and I'm living on a fixed income, and it's not easy affording my prescriptions. One of my prescriptions for 3 months' supply is over $4,000 without insurance. Thank goodness for Medicare, or I would not be able to afford them. Even with insurance, they are still expensive, and I know I'm not alone in this. I don't trust that Big Pharma has our best interests at heart. If they had a cure to this pandemic, they would use it to make money. They don't care about saving lives. Their priority is making money and lining their pockets. When I hear about big drug corporations getting millions and billions of dollars of our tax dollars to develop COVID vaccines, which we, of course, are, Mom and I are staying home and, you know, self-quarantining ourselves from this horrible pandemic, it makes me really angry. That vaccine is being paid for right now by our tax dollars, and companies shouldn't be able to turn around and charge us for it again. It should be provided at no cost, or at least low cost, and the same for all the medications that those of us are taking. The pandemic is a wake-up call for America that Big Pharma shouldn't be setting prices. I'm so glad to be a member of an organization called Maine People's Alliance that's organizing people across this state to demand that Congress do something to guarantee medicines are affordable. So with that, I would like to know, I heard Debbie Dingell's speech, and I'm encouraged by that. However, I honestly feel that we need to get together and find a way, and I will definitely contact my legislators, find a way to get Congress to vote to keep Big Pharma from price gouging and pricing us basically out of our health care. So with that, excuse me, I would like to hear more about how Congress and how the coalitions are going to be able to lobby Congress to get them to do what needs to be done for the people of this country. Thank you very much.
In a way, that's in the form of a question. Debbie Dingell, do you want to take that one?
Well, yes. I mean, what I would say to you is that we got to keep fighting. We are, I don't want to be partisan in these times, but we really need to communicate with everybody about this really means. We need to put the human face for elected officials about this is how this is impacting them. I think for me, because I spent so much time in hospitals and at doctor's offices, and people knew me, but John Dingell loved people. So, I mean, if I went to the doctor with him, I had to schedule a minimum of 2 hours because people wanted to talk to him and tell their stories. And that's what we need you to do, is help tell a story and tell people, tell elected officials what this really means in their everyday life and how people are making a choice between dinner and a pill, and that's not who we are in America. That's how I guess I would answer that.
You know, Barbara Lawson made such an important point, too, that Congress is funneling billions of taxpayer dollars to prescription drug corporations to fund the development of treatments and vaccines, like she was talking about, for this current pandemic. But, you know, so far there's really no guarantee that the medicines pharma companies produce will be affordable, despite all the direct requests to the Trump administration. In fact, we're seeing companies like Gilead and Rising making moves to maximize their own profits. you know, again, the interactivity, very, very important on this call. So I want to remind everybody, your voice matters. We want to hear from you, and we want to take your questions. So please press zero at any time to ask a question, and we'll get to more questions soon. The poll results were not surprising. Sounds like everybody agrees that all of the above is really the answer. And someone who knows that firsthand for all the years that she has worked on these issues is Margarita George, the founder of Lower Drug Prices Now, a longtime union organizer and someone who was instrumental in passing the Affordable Care Act. So Margarita knows a thing or two about passing big reforms like the ones we're trying to implement now. Please welcome Margarita George.
Thanks, John. It's great to be on. Again, my name is Margarita George. I'm the National Campaign Director for Lower Drug Prices Now, which is a coalition of about 60 national and state groups that are working together to take on pharma and lower drug prices. And I always say take on pharma just to be clear that in order to lower drug prices, that's exactly what we need to do. And we've heard from speakers on this call, and all of you did a fantastic job answering the poll question, which should tell us that we actually know what we have to do to make this happen. And the trick is, how do we implement it, and how do we, by working together across the states and working with champions in Congress like Congresswoman Dingell, Congressman Doggett, Congresswoman DeLauro, all the many members of Congress who have for a long time recognized this problem, that understand that the solution is long overdue, but that have to get past the wall of resistance that we see when we're dealing with the Trump administration and other lawmakers, many of whom, frankly, are bought and sold by pharma, right? Let's be honest with ourselves about it. So at Lower Drug Prices Now, our mission is simple, right? We believe that at some point, everybody in America is going to get sick. We're seeing it right now. When we thought about our mission, we didn't know about the pandemic, but the pandemic has made it all the more relevant. Everybody's going to get sick at some point. Everybody's going to need medicine. And we believe that medicine has got to be affordable for everyone, no matter where they live, what they look like, what's in their wallet, or what age they happen to be. That's particularly true for seniors. We know many, many seniors are living on fixed incomes. As people age, they tend to need more medicine. Seniors are really at the ground zero point of struggling to afford life-saving prescription drugs that really they can't do without. And yet we see day in and day out that they are rationing medicine, skipping doses, and facing those tough choices that the other speakers have talked about. Am I going to pay for groceries, or am I going to pay for my medicine? We've heard a little bit about how pharma and their lobbyists have rigged the system. If you think about it, it's completely insane. Big drug corporations get billions of dollars to develop new drugs. We're definitely seeing it right now with COVID, but this is actually how the system works. Most new drugs are developed with taxpayer money. In fact, all 210 of the drugs that were approved by the FDA between 2010 and 2016 were created with public money. We turn over these resources to the drug corporations. They do the last couple of steps in the clinical trials and marketing of the drugs, and then they get a patent, which gives them monopoly control over prices. And what do? They set that price as high as possible so that they can quickly start racking up profits. And we have seen this on new drugs, cutting-edge drugs that are for cancer or for hep C or for other illnesses. And we've also seen it on insulin and estrogen, and a lot of really common medicines that have been around for a long time. Giving pharma control, giving them monopoly power to set prices on any medicine is a huge mistake. We've known that for a long time. We've known that the reforms that we need to fix the problem are long overdue. It is not for lack of trying that the problem is not solved. We heard from Congresswoman Dingell about the Lower Drug Costs Now Act that passed last year. Members in the House, led by Speaker Pelosi, passed this legislation. to force companies to negotiate for lower prices in Medicare and then extend those prices out to more folks. And when that bill got over to the Senate leadership, Mitch McConnell, and the Republicans in the Senate refused to even take it up. So it is absolutely true that we are going to need all the help we can get, because at the end of the day, as I said at the beginning, we're all going to get sick. And this should not be a partisan issue, particularly not during a worldwide pandemic that has already infected well over a million people in our country. We need serious reform that's going to stop the drug companies from price gouging patients and putting people's lives at risk. We need it now more than ever. Now is a perfect opportunity, as Congress is negotiating over the relief packages that a lot of y'all probably hearing a lot about, to write into the law that these medicines and vaccines that are being developed and created with taxpayer money are actually going to be available to the people that paid for them, that's all of you, and all the other taxpayers out there, at low or no cost. Because it's exactly what President Weingarten said. These medicines cannot work if people can't afford them. And in a pandemic, we know that there is much more at stake than any one individual, because we have to get this economy back to work. We have to get our kids back to school. We have to make sure that people who are living in nursing homes are safe, that people that are working on the front lines, whether it's in the grocery stores or whether it's taking care of our relatives or working in hospitals, are protected. We can do better. We know that. And we have to do better, particularly for seniors who are struggling on the with high prescription drug costs for these medicines and others. So it's really up to us. And somebody previously asked, what can we do? And so I'm glad that you asked that question, because I have a fantastic answer. We can call our members of Congress, and I'm going to share a phone number with you. It's a toll-free number. 1-866-828-4162. That's 1-866-828-4162. The number one thing you can do is you can call your member of Congress. You can ask where your member is on this issue if you don't know. If you're lucky and you have a member of Congress like Congresswoman Dangle, you can thank her and you can cheer her on and ask what else you can do. Maybe you can share your story. Oftentimes, members of Congress are very happy to collect stories and be able to point to examples among their constituents. And if you have a member of Congress that didn't support the negotiations bill and doesn't support putting language in the relief packages that would guarantee affordability, would stop the prescription drug company monopolies from setting prices, would not do anything about transparency, then you should keep calling that person, and then you should call up a bunch of your friends and have them call that person, because that is what it's going to take in order to change the system. So I'll stop there and look forward to hearing your questions, and I just want to really take a moment to thank John and Barbara and Robert and President Weingarten and Congresswoman Dingell for joining us on this call. It is such a comfort and gives us so much confidence that we can win this, to have champions like this on our side.
Well, thank you, Margarita. And, you know, I can personally vouch, as can pretty much everybody on this call, be most interesting to hear from the Congresswoman about this. But nothing is more effective than calling the congressional offices. Calls have to be logged, calls are monitored, calls get staff's attention, calls are reflected back to the members, and very important, you know, like emails get ignored a lot, you know, there are different kinds of communications that don't work that well, but phone calls are actually really effective. So that number, once again, is 866-828-4162. Use it. Right now we have our first question that will come live on the line. It is from Wynn in Connecticut.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I believe a contributing factor to the high cost of drugs is the incredible amount of direct advertising to consumers. This used to be illegal. What can you do to once again outlaw this practice?
Randy, are you still on? Can we get an answer to that one?
Can you hear me now? Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, what could be done is we have to make something illegal. We have to make a bill into a law. And that is what Congresswoman Dingell and others have been trying to do in the House of Representatives, starting with, you know, HR3 and other kinds of measures, as you've heard about, for this entire town hall. The drug companies are not going to do it by themselves. They have very effective lobbyists. They are part of the current economic and political system where they protect themselves. And, you know, the president protects them as well. So we actually need to have this kind of, one of the reasons that this town hall is so important is it's not simply to say this is the bill we need and why, but it's to create the activism around that, because as Frederick Douglass said, you know, when he was alive so many years ago, that power doesn't yield willingly. And we need our representatives of Congress who will help, but we need to change.
Would anyone like to follow up on that, Debbie or MJ?
Sure. I think that response was exactly right. We need activism. We need a lot of it. We need, we need to be in this fight. I think that it was such a great question. It's absolutely true. Marketing contributes very significantly to the high cost of prescription drugs. There's only two countries in the world that are able to advertise on TV, and a lot of y'all that, you know, watch TV. We were on did a town hall with former Senator Tom Harkin in Iowa the other day, who represented his constituents in Congress for 40 years. And since he's been retired, he said he was watching a lot of TV and didn't realize that every other commercial is a prescription drug commercial. It is, and that is the reason that these companies are making so much money. They're marketing very aggressively. They actually spend more, most of the big companies, Johnson & Johnson, Eli Lilly, and others, they spend more money on marketing than they do on research and development because it so much inflates their profits. And the really terrible part about it is, in addition to us paying for the research that they then market back to us in the form of prescription drugs, they get a huge tax write-off for all those commercials. It's a business expense, and they get a tax break for the commercials. So the whole system really does need to be fixed, and President Weingarten is absolutely right. It's not just passing one bill at one point. We need to fundamentally restructure the system.
I was hoping somebody was going to bring up that tax break. It just seems shameful. If you have a question, as you can see, the interactivity is a big part of what we're trying to do here. If you have a question, don't forget to push zero. Right now, we can go to Sandra. She's in Phoenix for her question.
Thank you. I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona. I have a question about the private companies like GoodRx and that. Their prices are cheaper than my bargain for insurance, and I was wondering if that's going to hurt our power in Congress. And who owns those? Is it the pharmaceutical companies, or who owns those companies like that?
Who wants to take this one that has this information, I guess, is really the question.
I'm not totally sure I understand the question, but it's Debbie Dingell answering this question. But I will tell you that one of the problems that, so for instance, last year, this like was something that just outraged me. I get my drugs filled at a little a drugstore here, a community pharmacy, which clearly the big insurance companies want to put out of business, the drug companies, because they want to corner the market. But discovered that they had a gag order on them. They weren't allowed to tell us that there was medicine that was cheaper and would do the same thing than what was being prescribed for us. And after I got a foot cream that was prescribed for John, it was $1,500 a tube, and, you know, I mean, I had a holy heart attack, to say the least, and called the pharmacist and called the doctor. The doctor didn't know how much the medicine cost and immediately reordered something else. But pharmacies don't, or drug companies, I'm sorry, haven't wanted doctors to know how much some of this medicine is, and actually had a gag order on pharmacists telling customers like you and me how much that we could get something at a lesser price. Both of those issues are being addressed. One, the gag order is off, and a pharmacist can tell us that there is something that is available at a lesser cost. And we are trying to make it very transparent to doctors what the cost is of medicine that's being prescribed to them. Does that, and a lot of the other issues that you're talking about are also about insurance. So that CVS owns Express Scripts, et cetera, so insurance companies and that. It's a complicated issue, but is that kind of getting at what you were talking about?
And I can jump in too just quickly. So we have this whole layer in the middle of negotiators, PBMs, and then GoodRx, CVS Caremark, right, this whole middle layer that basically is responsible for negotiating prices on behalf of consumers. Sometimes it doesn't feel like they're doing it on behalf of consumers because it's still pretty darn expensive.
Well, they're not.
But
you want me to be blunt? You can't say it. I will. The PBMs are part of the problem.
Absolutely. And what happens is then there's sort of a back and forth, right? The prescription drug companies will blame the PBMs. Oh, they're middlemen. They're ripping people off. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, all the companies that are offering people coupons and discounts and this, that, if the prescription drug companies didn't have the power to set prices so high, we really wouldn't need any of that, right? Because the buck stops with them. When the prescription drug companies can get monopoly power to price a drug that they've created with taxpayer money, and they decide that they're going to price that drug at $1,000 a dose or $50 a dose, then we are at their mercy. And we can jump through some hoops with GoodRx and CVS, but at the end of the day, that doesn't actually help us to get value for our money, and it doesn't make the drug affordable to people. And sometimes I talk to folks and, you know, people are so grateful, oh, I got this coupon and blah, blah, blah. I totally get that. People are desperate to get affordable medicine, but the reality is we shouldn't need a coupon to get affordable medicine, especially when it's an essential medicine, antibiotic, insulin, estrogen. I mean, you name it, drugs that have been around for a long time, cancer drugs. Those drugs were mainly developed with taxpayer money, and it goes back to what the Congresswoman said about the COVID drugs. These are created with our money. They should be available at no cost to us. Why are we paying twice? In some ways, we're paying three times, right? We're paying to develop the drug. We are getting marked up at the CVS and having to pay more and then have a middleman, whether it's GoodRx or somebody else, tell us that we're getting such a great deal. And then we go home, we turn on the TV, we see a prescription drug commercial that we're also paying for because they're getting a write-off on their taxes. That's, again, more of our taxpayer money. The whole system is insane.
And especially when we all know that other countries have much more affordable drug pricing than we do. We have a question from Vicky in Pennsylvania. It's kind of a pretty basic question, but sometimes it's good to go back to the basics. How is negotiation going to make drugs affordable, and who is negotiating with the big drug corporations? Or maybe that's who do we want to be negotiating with the big drug corporations?
Well, I'll take it first, but others here can add a lot more. What we want is Medicare to be negotiating with the drug companies and putting negotiating a fair, reasonable, and low-cost amount for what the most prescribed drugs are in this country so that they can't keep increasing the cost of insulin. Or, you know, you've seen a lot of the examples. I use the example of an inhaler right now that is $800. And I went into a clinic and was with both the doctors there, And it came up at a town hall meeting where a mother got up and had two children, was working two jobs, still living at the poverty line, and the doctor had told her that she needed this inhaler for their child. It's a steroid. How can a mother afford that? Well, Medicare would go in and negotiate the prices to keep these drugs so that they would be affordable, and it would apply to not only those currently on Medicare. Someday I think I would like every American to have access to health care, as we see in other, we're the only industrialized nation that doesn't have it, but that price would then apply to everybody and would be across the board.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
I mean, I would just say that in most other countries, and I know we hear these comparisons all the time, the same drug that we are paying a lot of money for, other countries pay much less for, and that is largely because of negotiation. So in other countries, it's the role of government to negotiate on behalf of the folks in that country over a price, right, whether that's a price for insulin or whether it's a price in a public program. Here in the United States, we negotiate in other programs. So, for instance, we negotiate the price of medicines in Medicaid, another program that helps seniors and kids and working people. We negotiate in the Veterans Administration, right? So we negotiate for the whole Department of Veterans. So government in those other agencies plays that role. When Medicare Part D passed, that's the prescription drug part of Medicare, the prescription drug lobby was so powerful that they wrote into the law that negotiations would be forbidden. If the government can't negotiate with the companies for lower prices, that means that the companies have all the power to set the price. When we let the companies set the price, we know that they are going to set prices that maximize profits, whether or not people can afford them or will get access. And that's a key problem. That's why we've seen folks like Congresswoman Dingell and others really pushing hard on the negotiations angle. It would dramatically, being able to have a say and actually have a hands-on negotiation with the companies would at least give us a fighting chance. And we've seen that in other parts of the system, it has lowered prices, and it's lowered prices in other countries. We should have it here too in Medicare and really across all insurers, across all payers.
And the way we're going to get results is going to be through Congress. Please make this call to Congress. Call 866-828-4162. 866-828-4162. You can connect with your representatives in Congress to deliver the message that we have been giving you today. Call today. Tell your representative you want them to hold Big Pharma affordable and guarantee affordable, or accountable rather, and guarantee affordable COVID drugs. But stay on the line until our closing song. It's coming up pretty soon. We got one more question, though, from Joe in Orlando. And this is an interesting and kind of nuanced question. Why worry about making the vaccine affordable when that's a year away? Who wants to take that one?
I'll take it. I've talked.
Go for it.
A lot. I'd say a couple things. One thing is, at the end of the day, in an epidemic, we've seen this with past epidemics, the only way to stop it in the long term is inoculation. We have to, the same way we did with polio, the same way we've done with MMR, the same way we did with, you know, virtually every other communicable disease. So we need a vaccine, and we need it as soon as possible, whether it's a year away, 2 years away, 3 years away. We need to be pushing for an affordable price, because at the point when that medicine is developed, we need to actually mass immunize people. And that is going to take hundreds of thousands of doses in the United States, millions worldwide, and billions around the country. And one thing that we should learn in this pandemic is that we really are in a global economy. It took all of a couple of weeks to get an infectious disease that was abroad, thousands of miles away, into the United States and spread to nearly a million people in just a matter of a few weeks. So ultimately, if we are trying to get out of this pandemic mess, the only alternative that we have is going to be to vaccinate people and really crush the disease by preventing infection. we should take action now, because the other big lesson of this pandemic is it's never too early to be ready. At every single stage in this pandemic, we have floundered. We don't have enough tests. We don't have enough equipment. We're having shortages of other kinds of medicine already that is sourced abroad, because we never planned for this type of pandemic that would create global disruption in the supply chain. We don't have enough hospital beds. We don't have enough healthcare providers. We don't have enough workforce to do the tracing. We should learn our lesson and not make the same mistake over and over and over again. When that vaccine is ready, we should be ready. We should be ready by making sure that it's affordable, that we can get millions and millions of doses for ourselves and for people around the world at very low cost. And we should make sure that we have a mechanism that we can distribute it quickly, because we've only been in this pandemic situation for a couple of months, 3 months, and it already feels like forever. We all have an incentive in making sure that we can end it as quickly as possible. That's going to be contingent on being ready to go, ready to hit go once we have that medicine.
Debbie or Randy, anybody else want to weigh in?
Well, I agree, but the other thing is that we already know that how long it's going to take to gear up production to make the number of doses that are going to need to be available worldwide for the people that are going to need this, for us to be able to stop the spread of this virus. And it's also going to be very important. We already have this problem that as people are going back to work, that if someone's sick, they are afraid they can't afford the COVID test. We've tried to make it so that it is free. Nobody has to worry about it. But people shouldn't be going to work because they can't afford to stay home, because they're actually increasing the spread of this COVID virus. And they're afraid they may be stigmatized, or they're afraid they can't afford to take the medicine or to stay at home. We got to think about this. And we don't want anybody not getting the vaccine because it's too expensive or any other reason. And if we don't start to plan for this now, we won't be ready for it when the vaccine is ready. We have to plan to even make enough so it is ready for distribution. And that's why you hear many of the experts, including Bill Gates, say we should start producing for several of these vaccines, and because they take time. They're not. It takes time to prepare that base. We need to be ready, not like we weren't for this pandemic. We have to take some real lessons learned from what has happened and try to prevent this from ever happening again, and making sure that not only every American is able to get vaccinated, but that everybody in the world, and that is not an exaggeration, also is able to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I would even add that we have seen the results of lack of preparation in the administration response to the COVID crisis in the first place. The results are devastating. So although it seems a reasonable question, if the vaccine's a year away or even more than a year away, why are we worrying about it now? The answer is we must be prepared, and we must be much better prepared than we have been so far. Randy, did you have anything on this?
Yeah, no, I would. Thank you, John. But look, you know, I don't mean to be political in terms of the future, but, you know, part of this is we actually need an administration that believes in what we're saying and believes that and to change the levers of government, not just having a law that does it, but to change the incentives and all sorts of other things. So this is the climate in which we're operating, so that Big Pharma knows that they have to negotiate prices, that this comes out of HHS and FDA and other places instead of adjusting ourselves from the outside, really continuing to scream and Congress basically try to get a law passed. So I think that long term is really important. But the other point about the vaccine is this. If we can't get the vaccine in a way that is cheap and accessible, in some ways like flu shots have now become cheap and accessible, then people are not, they need to be affordable and accessible, and not just accessible to NBA players, not just accessible the test to Mike Pence, that these have to be generally accessible to people across America.
Well, thank you all. The phone number, once again, please get your pens out or put it in your phone, 866-828-4162. To hold Big Pharma accountable, please call today. Thank you all for making your voice heard. I also want to I want to thank our speakers, Congresswoman Dingell, Randy Weingarten, Robert Roach Jr., Margarita George, Barbara Lawson, and of course I want to thank all the amazing Lower Drug Prices Now Coalition members who partnered on this event, the Alliance for Retired Americans, the American Federation of Teachers, and the Maine People's Alliance. Now I'm going to go on speakerphone. Hope this works. Hope you can all still hear me for the closing song. Because every event I've ever done has ended with this song, but we might change the words a little bit. I want you all to sing along. I won't be able to hear you, but sing along anyway. Good night, Big Pharma. Well, it's time to go. Good night, Big Pharma. Well, it's time to go. No, 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 no. Don't hate to leave you, but we really must say good night, Big Pharma. Good night. Good night, Big Pharma. Good night. Good night, Big Pharma. Lower drug prices now. Thanks for listening.